Welcome to the Mom Forum. I am your host, Alicia Wilson Beach. I am birth mom of three, adoptive mom of one, and stepmom to four. Yes, you counted that right. That is eight kids. And over the years, I have been known to completely overshare my story of motherhood. And I started this podcast to be able to share the common and maybe not so common experiences of motherhood from women of all walks of life. So thank you for joining me for these intimate mom-to-mom conversations, following each of my guests' journey through motherhood. These stories are honest and vulnerable. There's a little bit of humor and a whole lot of relatability. And my hope is that you can see yourself in one of these stories and know that you are absolutely not alone in this crazy journey through motherhood. I am so happy to have you as a listener of the Mom Forum podcast. And if you would like to further support us, you can become a patron of ours. Just visit us at patreon.com/themomforum, and you can support us with a monthly subscription at the $3 level, $5, or $7. It's just a tiny monthly payment that will add up to a ton of support here for the work that we do at the Mom Forum. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and please share these episodes. And if you could take a moment, we would love to hear a review and your thoughts on the Mom Forum podcast. Today, I'm sitting down with Grammy Award-winning artist Melanie Fiona. She is such a beautifully talented singer and such an open and vulnerable woman. And she and I had a truly refreshing conversation about her journey to being a mom. And she just shared the struggle she was having, the fear she was having to face, and the fact that she did not get to have the birth that she imagined she would, and having to deal with the disappointment that comes along with that and all of the feelings that come up with that. And man, we truly, truly connected on a lot of those things. And she also shared about how she had to really learn how to surrender and how motherhood taught her that she wasn't as in control as she thought she was. And I just truly hope that maybe a new mom out there will hear this conversation and know that you are not alone in feeling like this whole pregnancy and giving birth to a child was not what you expected it to be, because that is the story for so many of us. So I hope that you enjoy this podcast episode. Thank you so much for joining me today, Melanie.
I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you because we met at a Moms in Color event, and you talked about telling your truth about motherhood. And I was like, okay, I need to talk to her.
Yes.
And get her story. So let's start back pre-motherhood.
Yes.
And tell me about who you were before the little one came along.
Wow. Okay. So I have always been, I think, a very precocious, outgoing, vibrant person. Mm-hmm. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a singer. I am a songwriter. I have toured the world and been fortunate enough to, I think at a very young age, know that music and healing is my purpose. Mm-hmm. I used to say I wanted to be a singing nurse when I grew up. At 4 years old, when they asked me, I was like, I want to be a singing nurse.
I saw that hashtag.
Yes.
I was like, singing nurse, what is that?
Yes. And this is something I've known about myself my whole life. And I only feel like recently have I really come to own that that's really who I am and mm-hmm. what I've always been. And I always think now, you know, even being a mom now, looking at children and really being able to honor that my four-year-old self was already like, I know who I am. Just let me be that.
That's
and
gift.
So, yeah, it really is. And I'm very thankful for my four-year-old self. And so, you know, I've put out albums and been blessed to be a known artist and musician in the public eye and make a living off of doing that. I am a total lover. I love love. Mm. I love to sing love songs. I'm a very happy, upbeat person, positive person, but I draw on all of my inspiration and strength from my not so strong moments, yeah, and from the vulnerable moments and the heartbreaks. And I think that that's kind of where the healing is for me. And that's what I've learned in my career and the music that I've made, that that's where the healing is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And so my life before motherhood was very full. You know, I've lived in many wonderful cities. You know, I'm from Toronto originally. I've been blessed to live in New York, Los Angeles, Florida, just many different places. And along the way, have met amazing people and had a great group of friends, mm-hmm, that I would travel with. I met my now fiancé in New York, and we had the time of our lives running the streets of New York and traveling together and being wild and young and in love, and it was wonderful. And then, you know, as life started to progress and I started to start to think about what I wanted for the next phase of my life, mm-hmm, it almost just happened. And it was almost like it was just waiting for me to just be like, give it some thought and, mm-hmm, maybe it'll be here. And then my life blossomed into partnership and motherhood and music and all of it, you know, in 2015. So,
yeah. Now, was motherhood something that was always on your radar? Because I've had people are like, absolutely not. And some people are like, oh, from day one, I wanted to be a mom.
So I think when I was younger, like in my teens, there was a time when I was like, oh, I don't really know if I want to be a mom. Mm-hmm. And then as I matured a little bit more into a young woman, I definitely was like, I know I want to be a mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know when that looks like. I don't know how many kids. I just know I absolutely want to be a mom one day in this life. And so when I found out I was pregnant, it truthfully wasn't planned. Uh-huh. We weren't in a space where we were actively planning to have a child, but we were also in a space where we had talked about having children and we had talked about being parents together and building a life together. And like I said, I truly believe that words have power. Yes, and I feel like as soon as we both just looked at each other on the same page, like, yeah, I would love to do that with you. That little spirit Cameron was just like, finally, thank you. I've been waiting for you guys to get it together so I could be here. And it was like the wind changed like overnight and I was pregnant. And it, ironically, we were in a time where I was actually concerned that I was concerned about my health and my ability to be able to have children, because, mm-hmm, I had never been pregnant,
yeah,
my entire life. And so here I am in my early 30s, and I've definitely in previous years used birth control and things like, yeah, that, so I know why I wouldn't have gotten pregnant then. But even in times when there was an oops or I was like, I've never been pregnant, so am I able to have children? Like, it started to become almost like a fear.
Yeah.
That it might not happen for me. And as I was investigating, like going for my annual, talking to the doctor, like, how would I know if I was able to have children or not? And she was just like, well, everything seems fine. I think if and when you're ready to try, you'll be good to, mm-hmm, do so. I was already pregnant at the time when I had asked the questions. Yeah, I was 2 weeks pregnant and didn't know.
Wow.
So, you know, when she's asking me about when's your last cycle, I was like, oh, I just had it. So no one's thinking I'm pregnant. I was already pregnant. So motherhood for me almost came on like the perfect storm for me,
mm-hmm,
in a space where I always feel like you're never ready even when you think are, right?
You can never, ever be ready for motherhood.
No, and never. But at the same time, I think that for the type of person I am and how I live my life, I truly believe that once my spirit and my intention really started to think about that, mm-hmm, I manifested it, and it really was like, okay, you're ready for this now. So,
yeah. And your little guy said, hey, yeah, thank you.
I really do believe that. I really do believe. Even the process of how Jared, that's my fiance, and I, our relationship had progressed, of how we met and how the journey that we had to go through to get to where we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't like we met and it was just perfect all the way and here we are and we're the happy, you know, we had to move apart and take some time and come back together. And,
yeah,
and I feel like once we got to the absolute right place in our journey, that's when it was meant to be. And yeah. I feel like it would have never happened before that because we weren't aligned. And I think in the best place to be able to start a family, you know, just based off of like how we were living, our lifestyles, where we were finding each other as people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I really honor that the way my journey happened for me, because I really do believe that it was the miracle of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And once you found out you were pregnant, where, I'm sure, because you go through a, yay, I'm pregnant, and then, oh, no, what is going to happen? I'm pregnant.
Facts. Such hard facts, because when I found out I was pregnant, I found out on my birthday.
Oh, the birthday present.
The 4th of July, which was also a gift and a curse, because now when you're found out that you're pregnant on your birthday, you're trying to be responsible
yes.
about how to celebrate your birthday. So maybe I'm not going to have as much wine and alcohol and sushi as I might have had not knowing. And like, I had all these plans, but now this was at the forefront of my mind. And so I remember feeling so excited and like bursting with energy and like, oh my God, I can't wait to like really go to a doctor and figure out what's happening. And then it was literally 5 days after, I was in full sobbing, emotional breakdown, terrified, what the hell is about to happen to my life mode.
Yeah.
And I remember how quickly it changed, and that was also very scary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have three nieces, and I was with them right after I had found out I was pregnant. Both Jared and I, we were in Florida visiting my grandparents mm-hmm. and being down there, and my brother was there with his kids, and it hit me that I wasn't going, but this time next year, I wasn't going to be Auntie Mel anymore. I was going to be Mama Mel.
Mm-hmm.
And all these like rush of emotions and of course hormones and like just the mental space of thinking about how much life was going to change. And was I prepared for that? How do you prepare for it? I remember Jared and I were talking about going to Amsterdam and Paris, like on a vacation. And I just remember one night laying in the bed with him and crying like uncontrollably for 30 minutes. Talking about, we're not going to go to Paris and Amsterdam. I'm so sorry. Like, I just couldn't. I couldn't. And then all of a sudden it was like, I cried myself to sleep. And then realistically, for the next 2 months, I had extreme anxiety and sadness
mm-hmm.
For two things. My body started changing instantly.
Yeah.
At what women look like at 3 months, 19 weeks, I was looking like at 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I have pictures of this, and I eventually plan to share this, mm-hmm. you know, through my forums as well, because it was like motherhood immediately was like, your life is changing immediately from conception.
Yeah.
And then also the process of where I was at in my career. I had just shot two music videos. I was in a new like working situation, getting mm-hmm. ready to release new music. And I remember going out and seeing like two other female artists that I had known for years in the industry who were all around the same age as me. And they're out like shopping for clothes for like to wear to an event. And I'm out shopping for clothes to conceal my pregnancy.
I don't even know where I'm going to be at this
right?
point.
And exactly. And it hit me. And I remember like Jared and I going out for dinner, and he's like, how are you feeling? And I'm like, I'm not feeling excited. And this is not what I thought it was going to be. And I feel guilty, and I feel, you know, like I should feel happy. Why don't I feel happy? Why am I letting fear and opinion and judgment and anxiety take away my joy right now? Mm-hmm. But I couldn't help it.
Yeah.
And it was uncharted territory for me. You know, at that point I had been fully in control of everything in my life, or so I thought.
Yeah.
And motherhood and pregnancy just came along and was like, no, we're going to change your body right away. We're going to change your emotional stability. We're gonna change your plans, because you're gonna probably feel tired soon. We're gonna change mm-hmm. your wardrobe. We're gonna change everything, and that was really hard. That was really hard in the beginning. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's like a shakeup.
Yes,
I had a meltdown in Babies R Us.
Yes,
over it, because the lady that was helping us was, well, do you want the wrap version of the blanket or this version, and do you have that, and do you, and I'm like, how am I supposed to know? It's like, why would I know that? And I'm sobbing
yeah.
in Babies R Us.
Yeah.
And it's such a shock, because it's like the overwhelm of everything you have to think about.
Everything.
Hits you in like waves.
And I just, I can honestly say, I think getting, we didn't tell anybody till 3 months. Mm-hmm. And I think it was actually really important for that. I know some people make that choice based off of like a medical, mm-hmm. you know, a medical mm-hmm. decision to make sure they're in the safe zone.
Yeah.
For me, I'm glad we waited till the 3 months too, just because I needed that time to process.
Yeah.
But once we got the okay and we told our parents and everybody, then all of a sudden the anxiety like really, it just lifted. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is the way it's supposed to feel, supported and loved and excited. Mm-hmm. And I think that when you're in your own head, you feel really isolated and it's really easy to just spiral down into the,
absolutely.
You know, Jared being a first time dad, me being a first time mom, like we're spiraling into this, like our own individual things. We don't know how to support each other yet.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know. We're both new at this. And so once we got the support and love of our friends and family, then I finally was able to be like, okay, I'm going to really enjoy my pregnancy.
Yeah.
And you know, if there's one thing I said this to you before in one of my vlogs is that if there's one thing that I regret was allowing for any amount of time during my pregnancy to be fear ridden because of what I was concerned about what other people would think.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing that I think I could say I regret. Like, you know, natural hormones and process is your own journey.
Yeah.
But, you know, being in the public eye, being a celebrity, being an artist, being a product to certain people as far as their business goes, mm-hmm. You know, I was really, I allowed what I thought they would think of me or how they would treat me differently mm-hmm. To affect the beginning of my pregnancy. Yeah.
Oh, we've built up this like idea of what motherhood should look like, or even the glamorized version of it that nobody can live up
no,
to.
No.
Like when Beyonce came out with her pictures of the pregnancy and the twins, and I did a blog that was like, okay, even Beyonce does not look like this day to day. Like this is part of her image. And I love that she's celebrating pregnancy and the beauty of
yes.
it, but this is not everyone's daily reality.
Exactly.
Nobody's daily reality.
Absolutely not. No. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. And I think that that's for me what has been I kind of like a really empowering thing to know that people have a certain expectation mm-hmm. of women in the public eye or in entertainment to maintain a certain persona and appeal
yeah.
based off of when motherhood is now a part of their lives and their career. And I just really feel the most empowered by being truthful.
Yeah.
Like, sure, it's nice to see myself glamorized with my kid, but it's also nice to be like, hey, I also just put on sneakers and walked to the grocery store with my kid. And this is what it looks like. It's not always staged and it's not always overproduced. And that for me allows me to feel like I'm still connected to people and yeah. women. And that's
your real too.
And that's my real too. Like, yeah, sure. I may have to take my kid to the Grammys as well. Right. Like that's one part of my life.
Work.
Right. But at the same time, I also too go to the grocery store with my kid and I'm not afraid to share both of those levels of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you shared a very raw video of you adjusting into motherhood and also your birth story.
Mm-hmm.
And the birth story part, I was really happy to hear because I think so many of us go into birth with the idea of, oh, this is going to be this way. And I had my typed out birth
Girl,
plan.
Bye. Throw that out the window.
My OBGYN was like, okay. But... So to hear, like, you go in with these expectations and then when you don't live up to what you thought it was going to be, you blame yourself and
yes.
you beat yourself up. And you talked about that in your
yes.
birth story.
Yeah, because, again, being an A-type person who thinks they're in control of their life all the time, I was like, I've got this. I'm healthy. I'm a warrior. I'm a woman. I can do anything. You know, I've got a doula and I am going to rock pregnancy and just get through childbirth like a warrior and I'm going to be great. Everything's going to be wonderful. Wrong. So wrong. You know, during my pregnancy, I can honestly say like, I grew so fast. Like what I looked like at 6 months, women looked like at full term. Mm-hmm. Like, I was enormous. And that was, even during the process, though, I was still like, I'm fly, I'm beautiful. Like, my skin was amazing. I look back at pregnancy pictures of myself, and I was just like, oh, I'm so pretty right here. I love that I felt pretty pregnant, even though I was enormous. And, you know, and towards the end, it just started becoming uncomfortable. And I was like,
yes.
What is this? Like, what is this? Wait a second. Why am I losing the feeling of, like, you know, functionality and, mm-hmm. and control now? And like, what is this? And then I had my birth plan, and I remember telling my OBG, I was like, yeah, I want to do a home birth. And he was just like, okay, this is your first baby. He's like, all things look good. He's like, but I would ask you to consider a hospital. Mm-hmm. And I remember being like, nope, I want to do a home birth in a tub. And that's not, I am organic and I am vegan and I'm vegetarian and I am not going into the system. I have a doula. Again, I have a doula. And I thought I had it all together. And he said this very early on in my pregnancy. He said, the difference in a crisis during pregnancy of minutes getting to where you are, to the hospital, can mm-hmm. be fatal.
Yeah.
For you and baby. And he was like, how far do you live from the hospital? I'm like, 11 minutes. And he was like, you know, I'm all cocky. Yeah. He's like, 11 minutes. And he's like, okay. He's like, what if you go into labor at 4 p.m. on a Friday?
Yeah.
11 minutes in LA turns into 40 minutes like that.
Yep.
So I was like, you know, and so Jared said to me, he was like, can we just consider the, you know, the hospital? And I was like, okay, fine, but I'm having a doula. My doula is going to be there, and I'm going to have a birth plan, and it's going to go like this, and I don't want this, and I don't want that, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. And I'm 5 days overdue, and doctor is talking about inducing me, and I'm like, no, I don't want to be induced, of course, mm-hmm. again. And, you know, I guess Cam kind of was like, all right, mom, I'm gonna give you this. And so the day they were talking about inducing me, mm-hmm. my water broke.
Oh, good.
And so I went into labor at home, active labor, and it was quick. By the time I got to the hospital, I was already 6 centimeters dilated.
Yeah.
And then progressing very, very fast. All the things I didn't think that I read about that weren't going to happen to me happened. I developed preeclampsia during my labor. I had back labor. Oh, he was sunny side up. It was just all these things that I had read about that I just was like, oh, no, that's not going to happen to me.
That's what you think. It's not going
to happen to me. Yeah. I've got this. You know, I got to the hospital. By the time I had been there, I think for an hour, I was already at 9 centimeters. And they were like, you're going to have your baby by noon. This is wonderful. So I'm like, trudging through, all natural, rocking it. I'm like, okay. And then all of a sudden, I can't feel my legs.
Oh.
And they're like, we need to check your protein levels. And then they checked me, and I had regressed to 7 centimeters. And it was like, regret. Like,
I didn't even know that was possible.
How do you go back? How do you go backwards? And that's when they diagnosed me with preeclampsia, and that's when they were like, all right, we got to get you on an epidural to get your blood pressure down, to keep you... You could have a stroke. And I remember being like, I don't want the epidural. Like, I'm almost there. And they were like, ma'am, no.
Yeah.
No. Like, come on. And then they gave me that epidural. And I was like, this is the greatest thing that ever happened. Like, I was so against it. And I understand and respect why women mm-hmm. opt not to and opt to. And I recognize in retrospect that there is a difference between suffering and pain management.
Yeah.
I was suffering. I didn't know. I had never had a baby. I just thought it hurts like hell and this is what you're supposed to go through. I didn't know that I was suffering from my body physically getting tighter from high blood pressure. Mm-hmm. I wasn't thinking about the fact that I was losing feeling in my legs and ketones and proteins. And I wasn't thinking about the fact that, you know, I was experiencing this thing, back labor. Like, I didn't know.
The worst
thing I didn't know. I didn't know that this was suffering.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know that some women just literally birth their children with the expected amount of pain and it all goes according to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so long story short, I was stuck at 7 centimeters for 9 hours.
Oh,
and you know, I even went as far as getting my acupuncturist to come and to try to I was determined to have this baby naturally. I was like, you are not cutting me open. Don't talk to me about a cesarean. We are pushing this baby out. I have mentally prepared for this. And I had my acupuncturist come to try to do like a natural induce me naturally mm-hmm. with pressure points and like electro therapy on your pressure points with the needles. Did not work.
I know the nurses were like, if this
they,
woman...
Listen, when they found out, they were so mad. They were so mad. But I was like, no, you're not, it's not going to happen. And so, you know, after that point, they were already talking about cesarean. Everyone was talking about cesarean about mm-hmm. it, except without me.
Yeah.
And finally, Jared came into the room and he was just like, we got to get him. We got to get him out. And he's fine. But you're not, mm-hmm. and I need to leave the hospital with both of you. And that was the moment of, oh, what? Like, this is life or death now?
Yeah.
What am I fighting for? What am I, what, why am I trying to be in control of this situation so much so that I could possibly not be here for my son mm-hmm. after this? And the thought of that was devastating. And it was like, just let go. And so that's when, like, the word surrender for me became the mantra of life mm-hmm. and motherhood for me, because it was like,
yes,
you're not going to get it. You're not going to be in control. You are not going to be able to predict and know how to do this from this point on. So just let it go.
Yes.
And girl, like a SWAT team, in 30 minutes, they were in there, got me prepped, and that baby was out. And I had to have a cesarean. Against my will. but I had to think about my partner, and I had to think about being a mom and my mm-hmm. child. And all I kept asking was like, is he okay? Is the baby okay? And they were like, he's fine. You are not okay.
Yeah.
It's you we need to save. It's not him. It's you. And that was like also like a first lesson in motherhood. I'd lay my life down for my kid right away. Yeah. It's like, oh, I'll die.
Yeah.
He's good. I'll struggle. I'll suffer. I'll mm-hmm. sacrifice. Let me go through it. He's okay. I'll stay here for another 40 hours. And again, it just was like, you have to then think about what is the best thing for you and your child right now.
Yeah.
Why do this to yourself? Why are you going to do this? You've already waited. He's 5 days overdue. You want to wait even longer to see him? Go get him.
Yeah.
And so they got him. And I was... then in for the shock of my life after. That's when the real shock happens.
That's when the shock after. Happens. You're good, honey.
Today's episode is brought to you by the Mom Self-Care Planner. As a mother, you take on a ton of roles. Mom, taxi driver, cook, housekeeper, activities coordinator, holiday planner, house manager, wife, lover, employee, caretaker, the list just goes on and on. And balancing all the roles that come along with motherhood can be overwhelming. And the next thing you know, there is no room on the to-do list for you. But mamas, we have got to prioritize our self-care or we become burned out, stressed out, and completely overwhelmed. But that is not easy when you are a mama. It takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of work. And the Mom Self-Care Planner is designed to walk you through creating a personal plan for the daily practice of your self-care to support you in your mental, spiritual, social, physical, and emotional health. This will help you better manage your stress levels, feel less overwhelmed, be more resilient when those kiddos are driving you nuts, and leave you as a happier and healthier mom. So get your Mom Self-Care Planner today. Click on the link in our show notes. And as a listener, just type podcast into the discount code and you will get 10% off your purchase.
So you had the baby.
Had the baby.
Nothing was in your control, which, yeah, I think at some point in pregnancy or birth, we all learn this is not up to you at all.
No.
And then you get into full-blown motherhood.
Full-blown motherhood.
And it is.
It from the, I was in the hospital for 4 days and I was fine. We were all doing fine. And then it was time to go home. And this was the thing that really kind of messed with me first. And this was at the hospital. After I had my operation, I went walking. They were like, you need to walk, right? Because mm-hmm. you got to like get
Did you have natural or child?
Natural. I was lucky.
Good for you.
I had one with an epidural. Then the girl, she was too fast and too feisty. They were literally like wiping my back down, getting ready to give me an epidural, and I got a contraction that made me lift myself off of the table.
And she was like, I'm
coming. She's here. And they were like, no, you've only been here for an hour. And I'm like, she's here.
See? Amazing.
And then the last one, he was not trying to come out. Had to be induced.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So when you have a cesarean, they make you, they tell you, you know, like after you get the feeling back in your legs, mm-hmm. like, hey, you need to start trying to walk and get your muscles going. You don't want to develop atrophy and cramps and all these things, right? And now, and I had already been dealing with high blood pressure. So they're like, we need to get you moving.
And did you have the,
they gave me those moon boots that like, you know, was awesome. It was like a nice massage for my legs. But they were telling me, you know, you need to walk. So like one night, Jared was there. He was holding, watching the baby who's sleeping. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go for a walk around, you know, the ward and just get some exercise. And one of the nurses said to me, she said, when are you due? And I was like,
what?
I had my baby.
Well, aren't you on the floor?
Yes, girl, exactly. That's what I was like. First of all, know where you are, because I'm walking in post-pregnant, like I'm in post-labor. Like I'm in the post-labor wing. This is where you work. But I was still so pregnant looking. And like I said, I was huge. So I was so pregnant looking that this lady was literally like a nurse, a medical professional was like, she didn't have her baby yet. She's got to be full term. No, ma'am. I was twice this size 2 days ago. Mm. So that was the first like, whoa, you're not who you were.
Yeah.
You don't look the way you did. And I think that when I got home, I remember thinking too, to my parents, I told my parents, I was like, nobody's coming for 2 weeks. I just want to be at home with just me and my fiance and the baby, and we just need our incubation time. Soon as they found out I was having a cesarean, my mom was on the first flight.
She was like,
the
nope,
day
I'm
I came
not
home
to you.
From the hospital, my mom landed.
Oh, thank
and
goodness.
Thank goodness. And when she came and I saw her holding him, I just had a total breakdown. And I looked at her and I was like, what didn't I do right? Hmm. And she just was like, you did everything right. What do you mean? Look at him. And I was like, why didn't it wasn't good. It didn't go well. And I could get emotional thinking about it because I feel so hurt for 4-day-old mother Melanie,
yeah.
who didn't know any better, mm-hmm. you know, and who was in shock of like not feeling like she was good enough or did the right things yeah. or she took a misstep somewhere.
Well, and, not to mention the trauma yeah. of all of this happening
yes.
around you, because at some point you have to like detach emotionally from the process.
Yes.
Just to get
through it. And I'm an emotional, like I live in my emotions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you believe in astrology, but I'm a Cancer and like
I'm a Cancer.
We just live in the emotions. Okay. This is where we live. This is mm-hmm. where we thrive. I'm an artist. I write love songs. Like this is what I thrive off of. So sometimes my emotions are all I have. Mm-hmm. So like you said, sometimes you have to turn off the emotion to be able to get through it. And I didn't know what that was. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that sensibility. I was so in the emotional space of what pregnancy and motherhood was supposed to be that when I felt that disappointment, it was devastating.
Yeah.
And it was heartbreaking. And I was just so focused on why didn't it go the way I thought it was supposed to go.
Yeah.
And that's really what, I mean, even down to breastfeeding right away. Oh. I was like, goodness gracious. Even when you think you got the hang of it and then you don't. I don't know. That's a whole other.
The breastfeeding journey, like, I was really angry about.
So angry.
The portrayal of breastfeeding. My son had tongue tie. I didn't know. For 6 weeks.
Yes.
In tears. Breastfeeding. And then on top of that, he had a heart condition, so he couldn't breastfeed fully. So I was literally in a chair bleeding and crying for 6 weeks because I had no idea what was going on.
I just...
Nobody...
I've been there. Nobody told you.
Nobody told you.
Nobody told you.
You think it happens naturally.
Yeah, it's just going to be fine. It's just all going to be... It's all going to work. And because I had a cesarean, something that they never told me, women who have cesarean, sometimes it takes their milk longer mm-hmm. to come in because there's a hormone that's not released when the baby doesn't come out vaginally. So my milk didn't fully come in for a week. And I'm here breastfeeding colostrum the best that I can, trying to give him everything. And I'm just looking at him and they're like, his weight is going down. And I'm like, no, I'm doing everything. I'm bleeding. I'm feeding for 40 minutes, like on each breast. Mm. Like, what are you telling me? And then it was just like, give the baby some formula. Just stop.
Yeah.
Just stop. And then we gave him formula. So happy. Such a happy baby, sleeping better, so happy. We found a really good formula that worked for him right away. Mm-hmm. My milk came in. Now we were doing breast milk and something. He was a greedy baby. I couldn't produce enough milk for him. So, you know, it was like, again, another adjustment mm-hmm. to what I thought it was going to be. And so in that entire process, in that first few weeks, I just really started to kind of remember myself as a person. And just be like, you're really having an experience that no one around you is going through right now. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling about that? And what is it that you know to be true based off of who you are as a person in your life, in your career? And that is, I have been able to connect with people through music, through a vessel of word and song and emotions. And that's what makes me happy. And that's mm-hmm. what I thrive off of. And that's what I love. And so with all my hesitation and apprehension of being like, is this too much to share? Like, is this something that people don't want to know about you? I was just like, you have to share it.
Yeah.
Because if you feel this way, there is someone out there who feels that way. Just like your love songs, there is a mom out there that needs it. And they need to know that you, being who you are, is not, you're not adverse or immune or protected from any of this.
Yeah.
And so that's where It's Time to Tell the Truth video blog came out, where I shared it. I shared the entire birth story. I cried. It was raw. It was, you know, puffy eyes and chubby face and no makeup and just raw. And I didn't even know that I was going to share it to the extent that I was. Like, I just thought maybe I'll edit it. I'll just do it and then think about it. And then there was just a part of me that was just like, just put it up. Don't edit it. There's nothing.
Yeah.
We do not need to be editing what motherhood is. So
no,
just tell
That's
it.
That's why I think so many of us suffer, because we see the edited version and then we make our own assumptions, because you see these little beautiful snippets of people's lives.
Yes.
It's like we're overexposed and under talking and sharing.
Right.
And it's, I don't know the word for that, because mom brain is...
is a real thing.
Yes. But yeah, we see everything, but we're not seeing everything behind it.
Yeah, no, we're not. And I think that that's the space in which we live in now, is that like we are allowed to publicly curate the life we want people to know.
Yes.
And sure, that's great from a branding standpoint, because you can make your life look however it is.
Yeah.
But we all know that we're only showing our best moments. Like, most mm-hmm. people are only showing their best moments. And so I think that there's real power and real growth and real peace in sharing the moments in between as well. That's fine. We can show when we're having a great day. It's also okay to show when we're not having a good day. And I think that we become so conditioned to like, nobody wants to hear your problems. Nobody wants to hear your sob story. Nobody, blah, blah, blah. We've all got our own problems. I don't need to deal with yours. But that's not what it is. It's like, we're not doing it for a pity party. We're not doing it because we want some sort of reaction. I'm literally doing it because there might be somebody out there who needs to hear it.
Yeah.
This is a tool.
You need it to hear it.
And I need it to do it for myself. Mm-hmm. And we really do need to be responsible for each other.
Yeah.
We're building
that motherhood community.
Yes, the tribe.
Yeah.
Like, we come from tribes. This is what we've been, you know? When I couldn't breastfeed, you would breastfeed my kid back in the day.
Exactly.
You know what it was? Like, that's how it went. That's, if I died in childbirth, you raised my child.
And we're missing
a lot of that now. And that, ever since then, that's kind of like what's awakened my initiatives and my content and my dialogue and narrative into what motherhood is for me, and recognizing that being blessed to have a platform of people that have listened to me for one particular thing. What I love about what I can do now because I stayed true to what I did in my music, which mm-hmm. was being honest and telling truths and talking about hardships and vulnerability and our emotions, it's not a far stretch for me to now shift and talk about this as a person. And so my audience is wonderful because they value what I have to say as a human being.
Yeah.
Not just what I offer for them to turn up to or bump in the car or, like, you know, make an anthem for whatever. Like, mm-hmm. they value who I am as a person. And that is a testament and the greatest level of success I feel for myself as a creator and as a creative, to be able to have an audience that values the human condition.
Yeah.
And not just the fanfare of entertainment.
Yeah, not the Melanie that they see.
The Melanie Fiona.
Yeah.
Grammy Award winning, fabulous designer dress wearing, blah.
Now, with that, and as you've grown through motherhood, your little one is 3 now.
Yes.
How have you maintained the space to remain creative and do the work that you do? Because it's not like a 9-to-5 and you have a set schedule. So how have you been able to still pursue your career and be the mom that you need to be to your little one?
So I think that some people might not value this perspective, but this is just my personal perspective. My happiness is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
For my child to be happy, I have to be happy. And so when my work or my life present things that challenge my happiness, I make conscious decisions to not succumb to those things, those mm-hmm. pressures. That means once upon a time when I used to do recording sessions overnight,
yeah.
Now I say no, because I want to be home to put my son to sleep.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss dinner time. I want him to see me go, come back. You know, there's adjustments for me. And I think that it's a constantly evolving thing.
Yeah.
I can't say that I have it figured out. I do not.
I don't think you ever figure it out.
I see some moms and I'm like, they seem to have it figured out. And like, mm-hmm. it's just like, what did I do today? Like but I know that my kid was fed. He had everything that he needed. Did I eat? Did I shower? It's a constant trying to figure it out. And I think in the life that I've been able to live as an artist, we've never lived a life of structure. I've never lived a life of structure where I wake up and go to a 9-to-5 and I have this like set routine and dot, dot, dot. And motherhood has been the closest thing to structure I've had in the last 10 years of an adult.
Yeah.
Of being an adult. Because I have to keep structure for him on some mm-hmm. level. And so I still sometimes allow my structure to go to the wayside, but his structure is important. So I take notes from him too. It's like, okay, you also too need to add some structure to your life when you can. But when you can't, it's okay. And sometimes just like, when you don't go to sleep at 8 o'clock, it's okay, Cameron.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're just going to stay up and hang out. Sometimes we're going to eat dinner later. Sometimes you're going to have your nap later. Sometimes you might have dessert before dinner. I don't know. Like, I've started to just kind of take it each day by day. And mm-hmm. even that event where we were at with the moms in color, she said balance is BS. And
so
that was, excuse me, one of the realest things I heard anybody say,
mm-hmm.
mother or not. Balance is BS. Striving for that like perfect balance is
never,
not
ever.
Real. Because on some days, you're going to be 70% here and 30% there. And that's yeah. just the way that it is. Some days I'm going to be able to be working from home and be with him. And that's great. And then there's other days where I'm going to be like, hey, Cam, I got to go away for a week.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my time being unbalanced as well. But I value the balance and the striving for balance.
Yes.
In having a living and having a life as well. So it is important for me to still do things that fuel Melanie, Fiona, the artist, the working entrepreneur, the businesswoman, the creative, that don't necessarily involve me watching my son at the same time.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's like I need to go and take a meeting outside of the house when I could do it at the house or make it a conference mm-hmm. call. Sometimes I need to go take that meeting because I still need to have my own time and do my own thing. And I also now am in this space with him being 3 years old, explaining to him that there is mommy time and there is mommy and Cameron time and then there's Cameron time.
Yes.
And when it's like at bedtime, like I put him in the bed and he's like, can you sleep with me? And I'm like, no, I cannot. I would love to. It's mommy time. And I know you're not tired and you might not want to go to sleep, but you need to lay here because this is Cameron time. Like, Cameron's bedtime is now. You need to stay in this bed. And I am going out to, you're going to clean the kitchen? No, I'm just going to sit and maybe watch some TV or work on my computer and do whatever mommy wants to do, you know, because yeah. I need him to also view me as a person.
Yeah.
And recognize that, like, I have my own things to do and I have things that I do with you as well.
Yeah. That's, you have learned that lesson early on. That is such a hard lesson to learn. I struggled with that. And then I found myself getting bitter towards everyone. And it's nobody's fault but mine.
Right.
Like, I'm the one that needs to establish the boundaries.
And I think that that's also important in our relationships with our partners. Very. Because I'll say this, men will never know what it is to be a mother.
Mm-mm.
We'll never know what it is to be a father either, but we will they will never understand what it is when a man has a pregnant woman at home. He gets to walk out looking like a single man every day of his life.
Yep.
When a pregnant woman walks outside, she's got a story. Is there a ring on the finger? Who is she? Who's the daddy? And it's all of these things we're already talked about and assumed for and given a narrative that may not even be true.
Yeah.
And that's something that men will never be able to understand. Daddy goes to work, comes home, he's a rock star.
Mm-hmm.
Mommy has to go to work and come home and still take care of the things that mothers, only mothers can think about because that's just the way we're programmed, right? I don't expect his dad to be a mom, right? Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that they'll never understand that this physiological, physical, spiritual, emotional thing that we go through is really our own. And it is our own responsibility to literally be like, you know what? I can't depend on, and maybe depend is not the word, because in a partnership, I do believe that you do rely on each other and depend on each other for to be in a healthy partnership. But I also can't necessarily look to you and where for my happiness, that goes for my children, that goes for my partner, and solely rely on that and feel sad or angry or depressed, and maybe not depressed because depression is a different condition altogether, but like resentful or anger, I have anger towards these people when it's really like, what do I need to do for myself to be able to feel content and pleased with my life. And then that way I don't have to be worried about what other people are not doing for me or not giving to me.
Exactly.
Because chances are we're focused on what other people are not doing for us, but there's lots of room for us to be focused on what we need to be doing for ourselves first.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we forget to ask for that. And then it's 100%. Like, nobody's thought about me.
Nope.
Cause you get so focused on this child and being that mom to the child. I know.
Well, you're pouring into everyone else, but you're not pouring into yourself. It's a cup.
Yeah. And
the cup is empty.
Only you can do that. Because when I first had my firstborn, my husband was just going on with life as if nothing had changed. And I'm like, what the? I'm stuck in this chair. I'm crying. I'm bleeding. What is going on?
Yeah.
This is not okay.
And it's super easy to feel like, oh, it's not fair. It's not fair that you get to just come and go and your life doesn't need to be disrupted the way mine is.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I'll never forget my doula, who I love, Julie. She was wonderful. I remember we were having lunch one day at the end, like towards the end of my pregnancy. And I said to her, I was just like, I'm really starting to feel resentment towards Jared. Like, I'm like at home and I can't even put on my shoes and he's just coming and going. It's got to take a meeting and he comes and he goes. And she was just like, I know it sucks. She was just like, but you chose to be a woman in this life. She's like, in your next life, come back as a man. And when she said that, I was like, you're right. You're right. Because it's just what it is.
Yeah.
It's just what it is. Women and men have a completely different experience in life.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. And so it's like, all right, you can either fight it or just be like, yep, this was the ballot I chose in this lifetime. Next time I'll come back as a butterfly or whatever, you know, like it's what just, yeah. And so I had to really just be like, all right, it's not his fault that he doesn't understand what I'm going through. I don't even understand what I'm going through right now.
Exactly.
Right? Like, how could
I process?
Right. What do I need? I need him to stay home and suffer with me too? Like, why? I need him to wallow in the misery with me too? Like, no. Like, he's not going to know what it is to have bleeding nipples. Like, no.
Yeah.
No, it's just not it. So what do I need? I need a support system. I need women and a conversation in a community where I can share these truths
mm-hmm.
and feel supported. And that's what more women need to be doing for themselves.
Yes, that's, I have built a mama tribe, not even aware that I'm doing it, but because it was such a need. And actually my daughter, who's 4 now, she started going, Mom, are your mama friends coming? Mom, are those your mama friends? And I realized that I'm like, I have really like surrounded myself, which I think is so important for moms. And then when you, even if it's through YouTube, like a vlog, and I see your vlog and it's like, yes, I'm pulling you into my mama
yes.
tribe. Even if it's, I'm talking to you on social media.
100%.
And we were talking about this earlier before, building that mama tribe and feeling supported. How have you gone about doing that? Because the music field is not really like, oh, look at all these glamorous, amazing moms.
No.
That's not what they point out.
No. And I think that, you know, we talked about this a little bit before we started, mm-hmm. is that in my realm of friends, so I can say this, when I was in like my 20s building my career and you know, traveling the world and being an artist, a recording artist and doing all these things, all of my like root core best friends were all getting married, having children,
mm-hmm.
all my friends from back home. And so I was the free living single, you know, oh my gosh, she's a superstar gone. And like, yeah. we're here living this domestic motherhood, raising children. And that was fine. And that was my experience. And like I said, I was anti-male for a lot of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got pregnant. And now in my community of friends that are all involved in like the entertainment industry, and a lot of them don't have kids.
Yeah.
A lot of them are in like a, oh, I'm getting this bag. I got to go get this money. I got to be building my career, like thinking about kids, dating, a relationship. It's not working for like, I got to do things, you know. And it's an interesting space for me because now, because of social media, I have been able to connect with other wonderful moms like mm-hmm. yourself and find a community of alternative creatives that are also mothers doing things. But, you know, as far as like now my friends for where I'm at, my original friends, their kids, they're like vets at being moms.
Yeah.
And like now I'm the like vet to my friends who don't have kids and are like, man, like, how do you do it? And they're now asking me and I'm like, I'm a rookie to some of these moms out here too, you know? So I just feel like it's all a part of the process. It's about being an example, the best that I can for my friends that are aspiring to one day do this,
mm-hmm.
to let them know that it is possible to do it, and continue to like be yourself and find yourself and innovate yourself and reinvent yourself and have it all. I do say that. I do believe you can.
Yeah.
All is a definition that is completely subjective to the person and personal. It doesn't necessarily check everybody's boxes on the same levels, but all, you can have it all. I do believe that. Mm-hmm. And then two, really now expanding in the network of moms like yourself that have multiple kids and being like, oh, like I could learn some stuff, like, you know, making time to create a podcast and doing those things and creating a network where you get to be your authentic self. Like
yeah.
your authentic self is you are a mom. That is what you do. It's
yeah.
not all you do. But if we can take that and make that into a conversation, a platform, a community, a support system. Like that's the good work that we all need to be doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think that that's what I'm really enjoying now is finding both sides of the coin. It's like, all right, there are some friends that have no idea what it's like to be a mom and we're going to go to some fabulous event together and it's going to be strictly driven by like industry professionals and entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like some moms who work in the entertainment industry that are like, hey, you want to get our kids together for a play date? And there's levels to it.
Yeah.
And I think it's beautiful and I love it.
Yeah. And you just have to find your people.
Yeah. And I'm making so many new wonderful friends that like, you know, mom friends and mom tribes that like I didn't even know was out there because for a while I felt so isolated because I was only around the people that I had been involved in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
that weren't really like making their families and their motherhood journey a part of the forefront of their narrative. And you know, I'm right now focused on making my narrative the intersection of where motherhood and music and wellness all meet. Mm-hmm. That's my narrative. That is my truth. That's what I live in every single day. And so I say that in my vlogs. I'm like, live in your truth and surrender to your journey. That's what it has to be. And so everything that I do at this point moving forward has to be it within that dynamic.
Yeah.
And that's just what's going to ultimately keep me happy. And that's all I want to be, is just happy.
Well, thank you for sharing your journey.
Thank you.
To and through motherhood. I appreciate it so
thank
much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Thank you again for joining me for this conversation on the Mom Forum. And I hope that you were able to relate to some part of this story. Please join us over on social media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at The Mom Forum, or come give us a visit on our site, themom-forum.com, to read our new blog posts, shop our products, or check out our next event. Thank you, and we will see you the next time on The Mom Forum.